Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. That's where you'll find more than 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. So, where was I before the commercial? I always lose my place. Oh yeah, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and corporate hometown of the Home Shopping Network, Tech Data, Jabil Circuit, Hooters, and Outback Steakhouse, Tampa Bay, Florida. When the producers of the CBS reality TV hit Undercover Boss brag that their show is about corporate presidents getting their hands dirty, they couldn't be more accurate than this week's episode. Because on Sunday, April 4th at 9 p.m., the boss going undercover is Rick Arquilla, president of Cincinnati, Ohio-based Roto-Rooter Services Company. That's right, the top guy at America's largest plumbing and drain cleaning service will be shown as one of the guys, one of the grunts, if you will, you know, that sound they make when they're doing all that work, repairing and snaking America's pipes. Here, listen to this preview from CBS.
Sunday, Rick, the COO of Roto-Rooter, becomes Joe the Plumber.
Pull that trigger slow. That's not slow.
Have I been hitting something?
How hard is it to put a hose in the pipe?
If I see a rat, I'll be screaming like a little girl under here.
We've lost some manufacturing they've been worried about to possibly losing their jobs.
Give a darn. Guys, this was a big deal.
New Undercover Boss, Sunday, only CBS.
I don't know about you, but I want to watch that episode. Arquilla, whose background is in sales, not plumbing, joined Roto-Rooter in 1989 and rose from regional vice president to president and chief operating officer, his current title, just 3 years later. Did I just turn off his mic? Yes, I did.
No, I'm here with you. Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Welcome to the media.
Well, thanks. I mean, I'm going, wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm just going to sit here and listen to this recording stuff. <Yeah. laughs> I wasn't sure when that was going to end, and you were going to say, hey, how you doing? So I was sitting on the edge of my chair, ready to go. I kind of dropped the ball, though. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Listen, if we keep the guests entertained, then I know the audience will be entertained, right?
Very well.
I've got to know, was that clip foreshadowing? Did you encounter rats?
No, actually, during that little filming, I more or less forgot that there was a mic and a camera because, you know, I was crawling underneath this house, and I was commenting to the technician I was working with that prior to going under that crawl space that rats and snakes are high on the list of things that scare me immensely. So I was really just talking to myself, you know. The good news is I didn't see a rat, but I can assure you what the outcome would have been had I seen one.
Screaming like a little girl?
Screaming like a little girl, absolutely. I wouldn't have been able to run like a little girl because I was under the house, so screaming is the only option I had, you know.
It's a little tough because being radio, I should explain to people that when Rick said that in the clip, he was literally in a crawl space under a house. You could see light coming in, but he was clearly in the middle under the house. I guess the techs with the TV and the video probably were not in a hurry to tell you that your mic was on at any point during the videotaping of all this.
Oh, no. It's like, hey, the sooner you can forget your mic, the sooner you can forget there's cameras all around, the better for everyone. So, yeah, they're not going to say, hey, do you realize your mic's on there, Hank? You know?
And I'm assuming there's no publicist to follow you around to make sure that you said the right things while doing this.
Boy, I could have used one, I think. I'm sure I'll feel that way about 10:01 Sunday night. Where was that publicist when I needed one, you know? Jeez.
So have you not seen the episode yet?
No, I have not. I'll get to watch it Sunday night when everyone else turns it on. I've just seen a few clips that have shown, you know, through ads, et cetera, but I have no real insight to the storyline and how this will all come together.
Are you nervous?
A little bit, yeah. Not so much for me. I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, too trite here, but I hope that it portrays our company in a way for those who don't know much about us that they're going, yeah, that was a good representation of Roto-Rooter, and especially the frontline folks I worked with, great people. So I hope they get portrayed in the proper light because they're great at what they do, and you know, heck, I get to go back and do what I do every day. You know, so
yeah.
Let's face it, I there's a lot of folks who could have put on the disguise and gone undercover from Roto-Rooter. It didn't have to be me, so I'm not getting too all worked up about myself over this, but I am very excited about the company being on the show and obviously all the employees that get to be on the show.
Well, and I think the question that most everyone would have, would they be able to ask it of you, is why would a successful business executive like yourself or one from any of the other companies represented on the series so far decide to appear on a show like Undercover Boss? What's the attraction?
You know, great question. The most obvious response, and maybe this sounds a little jaded and sounds too much like corporate America, is like, wow, we get an hour's worth of primetime TV. You know, isn't that cool? A lot of people will learn about us and know of us who maybe didn't prior to being on the show. That's the more obvious. But honestly, I had to go in with my eyes open, knowing that you know, I could get roughed up a little bit, and you know that I may not go unscathed. And I'll also admit that uncovering the undercover boss, if you will, was something that I hadn't really thought much about going into this journey. That does become part of what happens as you go through the process, and I'm okay with that. But I was so focused on trying to stay, you know, in character, stay undercover, do the work, try not to make mistakes, not embarrass myself or the company, that I didn't see the uncovering of me, if you will, coming. So I wasn't mentally prepared for that one.
Well, tell us about that to the degree that you can, for people who haven't seen the show.
Well, I would say that, you know, every person, boss or otherwise, has a story to be told that's beyond what they do at work. And I guess what I would say, to kind of coming back to your first question, why do this? Or if I got a call from someone saying, hey, I've heard the show's being renewed for season two, and they're talking to me and our company, and I'm thinking about doing it. Do you have any advice for me? And my honest advice would be, if you're comfortable sharing anything and everything about your life, knowing that it can't be perfect, go for it. But if you think you want to try to compartmentalize and only share and bring forward the parts of your life that you're comfortable with or not concerned about viewing audience, if you will, then you may want to rethink whether you want to do it or not. I think it's got to be an all or nothing. It's an all in or not. I don't think you can pick and choose what you choose to share. Then I think the show would become just too plain vanilla. Nice boss meets nice frontline people, does nice things, they sing kumbaya, and show's over. You know, and I'm going, I don't think I'd watch that. I would find that very interesting.
Did anyone get fired as a result of this show?
I don't want to give it away, and I won't tell you yes or no, but I can assure you there's certain jobs that no one in their wildest dreams would hire me to do at Roto-Rooter. I failed on numerous occasions. That I can assure you of. I was incompetent on so many levels.
How are you presented to the people you're – I mean, this is the part I'm really interested in, because I don't want to give – I wouldn't ask you to give away the ending of a show, even a reality show. But how are you introduced or presented to the people you're going to be working with? And why are there, you know, why are they told that video cameras are going to be following you around?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I grab the second half of the question first. We had the good fortune that this is the 75th anniversary of our company. We started in 1935, so we were able to use the cover story that doing a documentary on the 75th anniversary of Roto-Rooter, and that somewhat explained away the cameras. Just said, hey, it's a small production company doing a documentary, and you know, maybe somebody will pick it up, maybe not. Maybe somebody will want to watch it or not. Explaining who I was, why I was around, I was Hank Denman, an unemployed lawn care technician that was looking for non-seasonal work, getting tired of working, you know, 8 months out of the year and being let go every fall when the season ended. So I was just a guy looking for a job.
And did the choice of your background as Hank Denman, was that because you had worked at Camelon and could speak to?
Well, I used the lawn care scenario because I had been in that industry. Hank comes from a college fraternity nickname, which, long story short, future best man at my wedding comes home, too many beers, mistook me for Hank, and obviously I'm Rick. But there's no talking logic to a man who's had too much to drink, so I just said, okay, fine, I'm Hank. And it stuck. So next day I was Hank, and for the next 4 years I was Hank, and I met my future wife under the college nickname of Hank, and my future in-laws is Hank. So it was pretty easy to be Hank. I answer to that name on occasion. Denman was just a random name picked by the show.
Well, I have to say that the writer in me wants me to encourage you that next time you tell that story, instead of a random drunk guy coming back and calling you Hank, it should be a random drunk woman calling you Hank.
At least more people would be interested in the story, right?
You know? You saw where that was going. Okay.
Yeah, right.
My work here is done.
Yes.
Take a minute and tell folks about now I played that Roto-Rooter jingle, which I remember from when I was a kid. Tell folks what Roto-Rooter is all about today. What's the modern, you know, Roto-Rooter? What is coming?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the jingle and you go back to the 50s and 60s and when the brand was being built and they were franchising, et cetera, the foundation of the business was sewer and drain cleaning. Take mm-hmm. out this machine with a cable and blades on the end and get into a sewer and rooter out all the problems, so to speak. If we fast forward to today, that represents, frankly, only about half of our business. It's about equally distributed between plumbing and what we would call drain cleaning. So we're certainly the largest sewer and drain cleaning company, service company in the U.S., but we're also largest repair service plumbing company in the U.S. So one of the challenges, kind of a good news, bad news is, the good news is the name's Roto-Rooter. Bad news is, though, the name's Roto-Rooter, and it's almost descriptive and can sometimes limit what the consumer would view as the services we could provide. So if somebody's drain's clogged up, I think we're top of mind, but if someone needs some plumbing repair, we're kind of sort of top of mind, but the awareness isn't as great as we'd like it to be.
Was there talk? As you were saying that, I'm just thinking back. Was there talk a few years ago of changing the name of the company for that reason?
We've had more than one discussion about, is the name a good thing or a bad thing, or does the name limit us, or is there a certain amount of brand extension, not to get too corporate here in the business talk. But yeah, I think what's happened is we've kind of evolved to, we get described now as a plumbing company, not as a sewer cleaning company. So somewhere along the line, consumers have crossed that threshold from Roto-Rooter, the drain cleaning company, to Roto-Rooter, the plumber. So with that said, we'll probably take the more good and the not so much bad associated with the name, because, you know, we've been around 75 years, and you know, it's not easy to build a brand in today's world.
Oh, sure. Well, let's come back to the show. Speaking of being around a few years, this is, I guess, your 12th year as
Yeah. I thought you were going to say 12th year with the company, and I'm going, no, a little longer than that. But, I think about 12 as president. I keep getting asked, and, you know, the honest answer is, boy, don't put a gun to my head because I don't know for sure. I probably need to go back and check this out and have a more accurate date. But I think you're right. I think 12 years is the number.
Well, here's what I'm confused about in something like this with the show and the video. I work with CEOs. I co-authored books for them. I did it with the founders of the Home Depot and people like that. But whenever these guys that I've worked with go out to their locations, stores, banks, whatever it is, people know them because their pictures circulate it all the time, and they see them in video and in in-house publications. Did no one recognize you?
Amazingly, no. A little kind of a humorous story. The production company in CBS asked how long would it take me to grow a mustache? And I said, do you have 5 or 10 years? So that was out. You know, so, okay, we can't do the facial hair thing. That'd be a slow-moving train. The best we could do was just bad haircut, let my hair grow a little bit, you know, use the glasses, use the hats, use the things that can disguise you somewhat. But, you know, amazingly enough, you get out of the corner office and you go out there and put the uniform on, put the Roto-Rooter cap on and put a pair of glasses on and start cleaning sewers. And no one did recognize. I will tell you though that when I played the role of customer service rep and dispatcher, we chose to do it at night because our concern was at one of our call centers that I would be more recognizable just based on the frequency of visiting there. I mean, if you just play the percentage game, if you think about the number of locations we have in the U.S., I'm not going to be in the same place too many times, you know, in a 5-year period. But you're right. There's newsletters. There's, you know, there's the blogs. There's the website.
Right.
I mean, we were concerned about it. But, hey, maybe I'm just a nondescript guy. You know, that's maybe I'm just a plain vanilla guy that can sneak in and put the uniform on. I don't know.
How long were you away from the office to shoot this episode?
Well, we were gone, you know, days, and obviously we didn't get this all done in just a few days. It was 4 cities. I was out of the office for an extended period of time, but my job causes me to travel a reasonable amount, so I don't think it created much questioning in the home office, like, well, hey, you know, Rick's light's been off for a while. Where is this guy? So, you know, that it wasn't one of those. It's probably the opposite. You know, if they see me in my office every day for a couple of weeks, it's like, what's up with that? You know, can't we get him out of here and find him a place to go visit, you know, so we can get some work done?
Doesn't the office in Scranton need someone to look
in on? Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. Hey, you haven't been there in a while. Why don't you go visit those guys, right?
Now, if the shooting went horribly wrong, and, I mean, you could just tell in your bones that this was not good for you and not good for your company, are you contractually obligated to go through with it no matter what?
I'll admit to you that I didn't burden myself with all the legalese. You know, it's like, here, chief legal counsel, would you read through all this? And if you have any issues, you know, tell me. But my assumption is, sure, we would have been bound. I can tell you, though, you know, contractual obligation aside, the first day was the worst day. you kind of know if you give a speech or you do something, whether you connected or not, whether you did it or not, whether you hit it out of the park or you were just lucky to get walked and be on first base, you know, one of those. Mm-hmm. And I struggled day one. I think I was still president, COO, and I wasn't Hank, and the style and the techniques I would use as president to disarm and have someone relax and say, hey, don't get hung up on the title. You know, we're both got jobs. We're just trying to do our jobs, blah, blah, blah. I was doing too much of that. Mm. And I think that the person I was with that day kind of said, this person seems to be working it too hard for new guy. You know what I mean? I mean, new guy ought to be just showing up saying, teach me how to do a new job. Not teach me how to do a new job, plus I want to disarm you and make you feel good and blah, 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 blah. So I think I might have created a little suspicion day one, and I had to kind of give myself a pep talk and felt a lot better, you know, day two through the rest. But I was kind of slipping and sliding, trying to find my sea legs day one.
Man. Now, I know that everybody wants to know the answer to this question, so tell us what you can. What did you learn about your own company in the process of being the undercover boss?
Well, I can tell you this. The work's certainly much harder than I had imagined. I've been out in the field enough, been around it, observed it, but it's not the same as doing it. I had never done the work, so cleaning sewers, pumping grease traps, welding road router machines, taking calls, dispatching, running the closed-circuit TV camera, you know, all the jobs that I was doing. It's hard work, and there's nowhere to hide. You know, if you're having a bad day or you're struggling, there's nowhere to hide because you're doing this work in front of customers. You don't get do-overs. So it's very stressful, and if there's a lesson learned, we got to pause long enough when we make decisions in the home office that could impact thousands of employees nationwide to say, hey, how will this really impact their job, hopefully for the better, and how will it impact the customers? Because to me, the moment of truth ultimately is, hey, are all these great decisions made by all these great minds in home office, how's it really working when you ring the doorbell of the home or knock on that place of business? So a little bit of an eye-opener for me, and a newfound respect, again, for these folks who might have had a bad day, might have had a bad night, might be caring for an elderly person, someone who's sick, might have some financial difficulties, et cetera. And you know what? When it's time to go to work, it's showtime. They have to put on a good show. They got to smile, and they got to put everything that's bothering them in the compartmentalize it, put it off to the side, and provide great service. So I admire what they do out there every day.
Now, my reading of your resume is that your background really is sales. It's not I'm guessing that if you have a plumbing issue in your house, you're calling someone from your company to come out and do it. You're not going to roll up your sleeves and do it yourself.
Yeah. I kind of grew up in the sales marketing ranks and then switched to the operational side of the business when I was at Chemlon. I've been on the operational side the last 25, 30 years, but to your point of if there's a problem at the house, do I try to do it or do I call Roto-Rooter? Unfortunately, I try to do it, which is just both silly and comical and stubbornness, if nothing else. So our Cincinnati branch location, they know me well. Well, they know my wife better than they know me, and I'm a standing joke. I'm a standing joke in the branch for who gets to go fix Rick's problems today? You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't have any skill. I'm not talented. I'll be the first to admit it. But for some reason, I kind of just keep thinking I should be able to do this type of thing. I don't know.
Hmm. Now, have you heard from any of the guys that you worked with while you're undercover at this point? Who've realized that it was not Hank? They were
well. Actually, part of what happens, and it happens in all of the shows. I haven't been watching the shows. That's a whole other issue why I haven't been. But there is a point where I disclose to everyone I worked with that I'm not Hank Denman, and they know that it's Rick Arquillo, the president, chief operating officer. So they all know as we speak. They all know about this. They all know what happened. They all know that I went undercover and I took the name of Hank Denman, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that won't be a surprise to them on Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me wrap up with this. If the show goes well, and you said you haven't seen it yet, but if the show goes well Sunday night and ratings are good and people are talking about it come Monday, are we likely to see Hank Denman, Rick Arquillo, in Roto-Rooter commercials in the future to take advantage of that visibility?
Maybe Bowling for Dollars, but I don't know if they'll. I can't get too full of myself here. I mean, you know, I think of corporate folks who have chosen to say, "Hey, let me take sales through the stratosphere." You know, Lee Iacocca with Chrysler, blah 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 blah. I'm not quite sure I'm that guy. I would be thrilled, frankly, if there's decent ratings Sunday night, and people said, "Hey, that was pretty good TV," you know, and I enjoyed watching that show. And if we get that from it, this sounds a little corny, but I'll tell you, we did everything we could. I gave it all I had. I didn't know any other way to do it, but try to do all these jobs as best I could. Try to make the show as entertaining as possible, and you know, I hope that happens. And anything beyond that, I guess, well, haven't even thought about it. I'm kind of mentally just hoping Sunday night turns out okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, folks, listen, you can watch Undercover Boss every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on CBS, and you can catch Rick Aquila's episode. It's Sunday, April 4th at 9 p.m., and then after that you'll be able to catch it and other episodes of the show you miss at www.cbs.com. And for more about Roto-Rooter, the company, you can go to www.rotorooter.com. It's all solid, ROTOROOTER. And I guess that answers the question, what's the value of doing the show? You get Mr. Media to plug your website.
And that is exactly right. I mean, heck, if I hadn't done this show, you and I wouldn't have spent a few minutes here talking about this.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
Rick,
right.
You were a lot of fun to talk to. I'm looking forward to seeing the episode, and thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media.
Oh, well, thanks for taking the time, and I appreciate you wanting to know more about Roto-Rooter.
My pleasure. Take care.
You bet.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for more great business-related interviews, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with FUBU founder and Shark Tank co-star Damon John, Isidore Sharp of Four Seasons Hotels, Guy Kawasaki of AllTop.com, Dave Hagen of Boingo Wireless, Ed Droste of Hooters, and Laurel Tooby, founder of Media Bistro, and many more. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. Try it. I know it works. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate your sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Roto-Rooter, that's the name.